Praise God. All right, church. If you will, this morning, let's hold up our Bible and make our confession and say it like you mean it like you say it. This is the Word of God.
This is the Word of God.
And I have what it says I have.
I have what it says I have.
And I can be what it says I can be.
I can be what it says I can be.
And I can do what it says I can do.
My mind is alert.
My heart is receptive.
I'm a winner
and not a whiner.
I'm a doer
and not just a hearer.
I said I'm a doer
and not just a hearer.
In Jesus' name.
Again, the Bible says we're all a part of the body of Christ. So turn to somebody in front of you, behind you, say, thank God you brought the rest of my body this morning. Church, this morning I want you to turn with me to Colossians. Before you do it, tell somebody, God loves you and so do I.
God loves you, so do I.
All right. Let's turn to Colossians chapter 1.
We love you, Pastor.
Thank you, sir.
I love you, Lord.
Thank you. Colossians chapter 1. And again, the Bible said, "Merry heart does good like medicine." So I have you some medicine this morning. Remember, these are just humorous stories, so please don't be offended. A blonde was riding on a plane, and she noticed that the pilot died. So she grabs a radio and screams, "Help! Help! The pilot is dead!" The tower below said, "Don't panic. I'm going to help you." Then he says, "I need to know how high you are and whereabouts you are so I can locate you." She tells him, "I'm 5'3 and on seat B2. The tower says, "Listen very carefully. My Father who art in heaven." Amen. He couldn't help her. Next one. Doctor asks a man, "Do you participate in any dangerous activities?" "Yeah, sometimes I argue with my wife." A guy said he and his wife were happy for 20 years, and then they met. I'm going to talk to you about snakes this morning, so this one's about snakes. Jonathan and Randy were hiking buddies, and on this one day in the woods, Randy is bitten on the rear by a huge rattlesnake. So Jonathan says, "I'll run to town for a doctor." So Jonathan runs as fast as he can, 10 miles to a small town, and finds the town-only doctor who is busy delivering a baby. Jonathan says, "My buddy has been bitten by a rattlesnake in the woods and needs urgent help right away." Doc says, "I can't leave right now, but here's what you can do. Take a pocket knife, cut out a little X where the bite is, and suck out all the poison and spit it on the ground." Jonathan says, runs back all the way back to his buddy, and he's in extreme pain, and Randy screams, "Well, what did the doctor say?" "He says you're going to die." Good friend, amen.
He's not a good friend.
There were two snakes talking. The first one said, "Sydney, are we the type of snakes who wrap ourselves around our prey and squeeze and crush until they're dead? Or are we the type of snake who ambush our prey and bite them and they're poisoned?" The second snake says, "Why do you ask?" The first one replies, "I just bit my lip." An old snake goes to see his doctor. "Doc, I need something for my eyes. I can't see well these days." The doc fixes him up with a pair of glasses and tells him to return in 2 weeks. The snake comes back in 2 weeks and tells the doctor he's very depressed. "The glasses are fine, Doc. I just discovered I've been living with a water hose for the past 2 years. All right. That's sad. Amen. Colossians 1. Let's begin at verse 9. "For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you may walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might according to his glorious power, unto all patience and longsuffering with joyfulness, giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness, and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. For by him were all things created that are in heaven and earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by him and for him, and he is before all things, and by him all things consist. And he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning of the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have preeminence. For it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell. Church, what I want to talk to you about this morning, in nature there's an invisible line, yet a very real and definite line, above which you'll never ever find a snake. Early settlers in America referred to this line as the snake line. Often when they were purchasing a property, they would ask the seller whether or not the property was above the snake line. They knew the land on the mountain was more rocky and harder to clear and not as fertile as the land in the valley, but they also knew the land in the valley was infested with rattlesnakes and copperheads. So many settlers chose to raise their families on the higher ground above the snake line rather than risk snake bites for themselves and for their families. Just as the Lord has also has drawn an invisible line on the mountains which the snakes can't pass, there is a spiritual snake line as well. Amen? And some people are really scared of snakes.
Go not further.
I started throwing it in Gary's lap, but I didn't want him to take off running, you know. There is a level of living that is higher than the world. Okay? There's a level of life available to God's children that allows them to live the lives that are holy, pleasing to the Lord, and free from many of the problems that cause, according to Proverbs 13, the ways of the transgressor to be hard. And this passage speaks about the natural snake or the spiritual snake line. And here we're told how we can get above the snake line and how we can stay there. And I want to share three facts with you about living above the snake line. And I want to show that we have been elevated above the snake line. We have been enlightened about the snake line and that we have been empowered against the snake line. I want to consider these facts as we think about living above the snake line. When we were born in the world, we were born into the lowlands of sin. The Bible is clear. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God according to Romans 3:23. Add to that the fact that every sinner is dead in his trespasses and sins, according to Ephesians 2:1. And that we all walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. Before you got born again, we walked like the world walked. Okay? We were under control of the prince of the power of the air. And the spirit that worked in the children of disobedience worked in you and I. Amen? We lived according to the world. That's all we knew. We didn't know there was anything else. Okay? The Word of God is teaching us that every lost person in the world lives below the snake line. So they prove it every day they live by the way they live and by the things they do. Like the children of Israel in the wilderness. The lost have been bitten by the serpent of sin and all are in danger. The lowland of sin is a place of spiritual poverty. It's a place of weariness. It's a place of exhaustion. It's a place of sometimes where we just collapse. It's a place of hopelessness. It's a place of sorrow, confusion, and pain. It's a place of broken hearts, shattered dreams, ruined relationships, and troubled minds. It's a place where the vicious serpents of sin inject their poisonous venom over and over, bringing pain and poverty and destruction and death. The testimony of this truth is everywhere to be seen, church. Look around it. The lowland is a place of danger. The end of the road for every person bitten by the serpent of sin is death, according to Romans 6:23. The death referred in the Bible is not merely the death that leads to the cemetery. It's the death the Bible calls a second death, because it's eternal separation from God Himself in the fires of hell. Some of us, we're so concerned about the first death, about the physical death. But church, you don't want to be a part of that second death. Amen? You do not want to be, as bad as what we're going through right now in this life, as bad as what your worst situation or problem you've gone through, cannot even begin to compare with, can you imagine being separated from Almighty God with no hope for all eternity? Church, that's the condition of a sinner. When a person comes to Jesus Christ for salvation, that person is lifted out of the valley of sin and set in high places with Jesus Christ. Faith in Jesus Christ through the power of the gospel of grace delivers the child of God from the lowland and all its terrors. God has said, I want to raise you up to a place with me. See, our trouble is most of the church, we're trying to bring God down to our level. And God says, I've already raised you up to my level. You're seated with me in heavenly places. You may not feel like it, but that's what God says about us. Amen? Faith in Jesus lifts the believer out of the valley with all its snakes and sets them above. The land above the snake line is a place of spiritual replenishment. It's a place of spiritual abundance. It's a place of spiritual safety, spiritual security, and spiritual hope. Above the snake line is a place you want to be in. Amen? Paul tells us how believers can get there. In verse 12, he says, God is our Father. When a sinner comes to Jesus for salvation, the sinner is adopted into the family of God. When you get born again, you get adopted into the family of God. He writes your name in the Lamb's Book of Life, church. You belong to Almighty God. You still may be a mess, and there's still a lot of things in your life that needs to be changed, but you belong to Almighty God. He is your Father. You can come before Him and talk to Him. Amen? He said, we've been made meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. This phrase means that all believers have been given their portion of the eternal glory that is already in heaven, and those in heaven are enjoying today. Amen. You and I have been given the Holy Spirit. Yeah. Amen? Amen? There is hope and there's heaven down the road for every child of God. Yeah. He said in John 14, I go to prepare a place for you. And then I'm going to come back and take you where I am. This is not all there is. Sometimes we get so tunnel vision, we get so focused on what we're going through right now, and we feel like it's never going to change. This is not all there is, church. We're just visiting. We're just pilgrims passing through. In Revelation, it said, God will wipe away all the tears. There will be no sorrow, no crying, no pain. That's what we got to look forward to. He said, we've been delivered from the power of darkness. That word hath, it means it's already past tense, it's already done. God is not delivering. You've already been delivered, church. We've got to see where we are spiritually. Some of us are still trying to struggle. Oh, the devil's been chasing me. The devil has no power over us. He just got through saying he's delivered us out from under the power of the darkness. And he's translated us into the kingdom of his dear son. Amen? We have the ability to say no to sin. You know what sin really is? We were talking about this morning. I started to say something. We was talking about idols. You know what the biggest idol in America? Self. Amen. You know what sin is? Selfishness. Amen. I choose to please myself more than pleasing God. Amen? But he said we've been given the power to say no to sin, to temptation, and to all the tricks and the traps of the devil. Amen? In other words, we're free. Oh, I don't feel very free. Then you need to renew your mind to what God is saying. Amen? You've been listening to the wrong voices. You've been listening to the wrong people. He said, we've been translating the kingdom of his dear son. That word translated means to be carried away. When God saved us, he carried us away, taking us out of the lowland of sin the power of darkness and placing us into the kingdom of His dear Son. We now have a new Father. You know, a lot of people say, oh, we're all God's children. No, we're not. If you're born again, you are. Now, we were all created by God. But He said, you're of your father, the devil. Amen? He placed us in the kingdom of His dear Son. I say we have a new father. We have a new king. As citizens of a new kingdom, we have an entirely new way of living. We have redemption through His blood. The word redemption means to loose after the payment of a ransom. The Lord Jesus died on the cross to redeem us from the wrath of God, church. He paid our debt in His own blood and He set us free to live a new life for Him. When you say, well, I just can't live this life, you're calling God a liar. Because God says you can. He said, I've already given you everything necessary. He said, we have the forgiveness of sin. Everything that we did in the low land of sin, no matter how bad it was, all the corruption that was produced in us and by us has been cleansed away, and we are pardoned, church. Amen. Oh, I'm just a sinner saved by grace. Yes, you are a sinner saved by grace, but that's not who you are now. You are the redeemed. You are the righteousness of Christ. Amen? You are free. We have been elevated to a higher place in Christ. He reached into the low land of sin and He lifted us out for His glory. He set us on higher ground above the snake line. And He freed us from the power of the serpent to control us any longer. You can't blame it on, oh, the devil made me do it. No, he didn't. All he can do is throw the temptation out there. You have to reach out and get it. It's kind of like going fishing. When you go fishing, you throw the bait out there, but the fish have to take the bait. Well, the devil throws the bait out there and you and I have to take the bait. He can't make you. He's not forcing us to sin. We choose to. Amen? According to the Bible, our new life in Christ, our life above the snake line, is a reality. He says in Colossians 3, if you then being risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affections on things above, not on the things on the earth. For you are dead and your life is hid with Christ in God. The trouble, the reason we get so much trouble, where's our affections? It's on the things of this world, what you can see. Amen? But he says, don't put your, you're going to be so disappointed so many times when you put your affection on the things of this earth. He says, put your affections on the things above. Amen? He says, you are dead and your life is hid in Christ. Do you know a Christian shouldn't get their feelings hurt? Dead people don't have no feelings. Christians shouldn't be jealous. Dead people are not jealous. Amen? We shouldn't get bitter. Dead people don't have any bitterness. He said we're dead. We're in Christ, church. Amen? In Isaiah 57, he said, for thus saith the high and lofty one that inhabiteth eternity, whose name is holy. I dwell in a high and holy place with him also that is of a contrite and humble spirit, to revive the spirit of the humble and to revive the heart of the contrite ones. He said, if you're humble and you're repentant, God is going to be there for you, church. He said, Isaiah 40, but they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles, and they shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. The trouble is, God is supposed to be leading. We're supposed to be following. Most of the time, we got it out of order. We're trying to lead and tell God to follow us. Oh, I'm being led by the Holy Spirit. Really? Is the Holy Spirit in front or is He behind? So many times, we're trying to do something and ask God to bless what we're doing instead of doing what God's telling us to do. He said, your will is done. Let your will be done. His will is already blessed. His will is already anointed. Amen? According to the Bible, we have been lifted higher than we can imagine. We can't even begin to understand where God has us, where He wants us to be. Instead of feeling like an eagle looking up, we're like chickens looking around scratching the ground all the time. Amen? He has raised us up together and made us to sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Ephesians 2 verse 6. If you've been saved, you've been elevated. You're not the same person you used to be. Does that mean everything's changed? Not everything. Your soul, your spirit got saved. Okay? But your soul is being renewed day by day. You're changing day by day. Amen? And we've been talking about this on Wednesday night, the battlefield of the mind. This gets born again. This gets renewed. Eventually, one day, this old flesh is going to be transformed too. Amen? You do not have the same desires you used to. That doesn't mean you're not going to make mistakes. That doesn't mean you're going to fall. But if you're a Christian, if you're a follower of Christ, and you want to live above the snake line, you don't want to give no place to the devil, then you do not have the same desires. You shouldn't be watching what you're watching on TV. Amen. Church, you don't need somebody to follow you around with a baseball bat, and every time you mess up, bam, you messed up. You got the Holy Spirit inside, and when you mess up, He convicts you. He does not condemn you. He convicts you. He said, here's the truth. Now, what are you going to do with it? We shouldn't be doing the things we used to do. Our desires change. Every day it's a process. Your desires change. The closer you get to God, the more you want of God in your life. You're going to let go of a lot of these things of the world that had a hold on you. Amen? You know, when I got off drugs, it was such a whole new world to me. A majority of my life, I run around wearing dark sunglasses all the time so people couldn't see my eyes and stuff. Living in paranoia. And then all of a sudden, God comes in my life, changes my life. I took off the sunglasses, began to walk around and enjoyed life again. But the devil had fed me a lie. I felt like I couldn't live without it. I had to have it. The only thing we have to have is God Almighty. Amen? Church, you and I have been equipped to live on a much higher level than the world around us. And for that, we ought to be like Paul says in verse 12, thanks unto the Father God. Amen? You know, we get up and we tell God all the things we don't have in our life, all the things that are not working in our life, all the things we wish would have happened in our life. Do we ever get up and just say, thank God that I have a life? Thank God I got up this morning. Thank God I got to breathe this morning. If you have not been saved, then you're in danger. The poison of the serpent of sin still courses through your veins. You're trapped in your sins and you're headed to hell. A lot of people don't want to hear that. Well, I'm a good person. Good people go to hell. That's what the Bible says. You know, so many people don't even know. This is your eternal destination. And most people don't even know what the Bible says. They take what somebody else told them. My grandma and grandpa told me this, or my friend told me this, or my ex-wife told me this, or my husband told me. You need to get in and find out what God says about it. He says, if you're not born again, your name is not written in the Lamb's Book of Life, you're going to hell. Your story does not have to end in judgment and hell, church. You can be elevated. You can be lifted out. You can be delivered. Oh, it works for everybody else, but it don't work for me. Then you call God a liar because He said, I'm the deliverer. God didn't save us just to leave us where we are, church. He saved us to take us someplace. Amen? You can be given a new life in Christ. He will save you. It don't care what kind of mess you are. It doesn't matter what you've done in life. God will save you. The Bible says it's not His will that any man should perish, but that all should come to the knowledge of Christ. Amen? Oh, God, He's going to save this one because they're good, and He's going to not save that one because they're bad. Go through the Bible. Some of the baddest people in there are the ones that got saved.
Amen?
Amen? He will change you. You can't change yourself, church. Most of y'all know that. I tried it for years. There's a lot of things in my life I'm not happy with. A lot of stupid mistakes I made. You ever did something and think, oh my God, what was you thinking? Just it, you wasn't thinking. But He will change you. And it's not all going to happen overnight. It's a process. Why do you think we're here this morning? We're here to learn the Word of God so we can walk in a victorious Christian life. We're here to fellowship with one another, to encourage one another. Amen? He will set you above the snake line. In Jesus, the snake line, you'll live above the snake line and you'll be free, safe, secure, and saved. You no longer want to go back down below. You don't want to go down where the devil's got control. We have been enlightened about the snake line. He said, those who have been saved by grace and placed above the snake line understand the difference between new life they've been given in Jesus and the old life they lived in sin. Remember what you used to be? Sometime when you get upset with where you are now, think about where you used to be. Think about where God brought you from. Maybe you're not totally happy with who you are right now, but you're in a process. But thank God you're not where you used to be. Amen. The power and the privilege of the new life in Jesus stands in a striking contrast to the old life of sin lived below. Think about what it was like below. You know, before you got Jesus in your life, you were living in a snake line and you didn't have no help. You didn't have no hope. You didn't have a father to cry out to. The quality of life that you have now exposes the emptiness and the futility of life lived below the snake line. I want you to notice how Paul describes the differences in verse 9. He said, we're given a new life in Christ above the snake line. We're given the ability to know God. Right there, church, think about it. You think those people in the Old Testament wouldn't have given anything to be where we are today? We'd say, oh, I'd like to live back then. Why? We have a covenant based on better promises now. We have the Holy Spirit living inside. In the Old Testament, the Holy Spirit would come upon them to do whatever God wanted them to do. But we have the Holy Spirit inside of us all the time, 24/7. Amen? We can know God. You can come into His presence no matter where you are, no matter what you're going through. And sometimes we take that for granted. Aren't you glad you don't have to go through a high priest or somebody else to get Almighty God's attention? We're given the ability to know God. We're given the ability to know His will and to know His truth. All that's taught in verse 9. He said we can be filled, be completely full. We can have knowledge to know fully. Will, that which God has decreed. Wisdom, God's truth, known and understood and lived out. Spiritual understanding, an intelligence outside ourselves, the ability to know and comprehend what cannot naturally be known or comprehended. Because we walk with God, because we belong to God, God can show us things that you can't see in the natural. He'll give you understanding about things that you'll never know in the natural. How do you think people move in the gifts of the Spirit? How do you think that person prophesied to you and knew all about your life? Revealed by the Spirit. Amen? We are given the ability to know the deep spiritual truths of God. Someone said, oh, I wish God would just give me something deeper. Are you using what He's given you already? Oh, I'm just hungry for something deeper. You haven't been faithful in the little He's given you already. Those who live above the snake line can to some degree understand God and come to know His truth, His will, and His ways. And they're enabled to live out that truth and knowledge in your daily life. Church, God's not just waiting for us to all go to heaven. He wants you to have a little heaven here on earth. Amen? He wants us to grow up into Him so we can enjoy an abundant life here. He gave us dominion. As we walk around, we're dominated by everything. We're supposed to be dominating those things, church. We're no longer under their control. We're no longer unless we choose to. Amen. 1 Corinthians 2:14 says, but the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. Unless you're born again, your spirit man is dead. Amen. You're a walking dead man. And whenever you come to church and you hear this word preached, or you see these crazy people raising their hands and worshiping God and singing songs, you think, what is wrong with these people? Nothing wrong with them. They've been made alive. Things of God have been revealed to them. And they're foolishness to you because you're still dead in your sins. The result of this godly knowledge and wisdom is exposed in verse 10. This verse shows us that what sets those living above the snake line apart from those who live below the snake line. He said, walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing. This does not mean that we're worthy of what the Lord did for us when He died, was buried, and rose again, redeemed us by His grace. We could never merit that kind of love and mercy and grace. The word worthy means becoming or in manner fitting of. Paul says here that those who live above the snake line are able to live lives that are pleasing to the Lord. They're able to live in a manner befitting what the Lord did for them. In other words, their lives can be lives that look good on Jesus. Church, you forget, I'm a Christian. That carries a lot of weight and a lot of responsibility. Because when you say I'm a Christian, they're going to judge God. They're going to judge His church by you. Amen? Amen? But God says we ought to walk worthy. I know what God forgave me from. I know where God brought me out of. I know what He's done in my life. And He said we ought to walk worthy because of what He's done in our life. We should walk and please God. Some of us, God's forgiven us for a lot more than others. And we need to walk worthy of that. We're supposed to be fertile, church, fruitful. How does a saint prove they're saved? They prove it by their obedience. We have a new king, a new Lord. I've said this many, many times. Everybody wants Jesus to be their Savior. But we forget He wants to be your Lord too. Amen? And every kingdom has a king. The trouble is, we're trying to share God's kingdom instead of letting Him be the king. How does a saint prove their saved? They prove it by their holiness. If you're going to walk with God, you're going to live a holy life. That does not mean a perfect life, church. They prove it by their love. He said, by this shall the whole world know you're My disciples, the love you show one to another. Boy, in some churches, they'd never know that God had any part in there because they're showing a whole lot of love in there. Amen? You've heard me say it time and time again. I've seen more love in a biker bar than I have in some churches. But He says they prove it by their love. They prove it by their works. Your works do not save you. Your works do not take you to heaven. But because you are saved, then you should produce good works. In other words, they prove it by the fruit they bear. The saints bear fruit simply by abiding in Jesus. When we yield to Him and allow Him to live through us, our lives become fruitful for His glory. What God is doing in your life, He's doing it for His glory. The trouble is, God will do everything His Word says to do if we allow Him to do so. It's like we're praying for... can't even think of her name now, the little girl a while ago. And we're praying for peace in Danielle. We was praying for her a while ago. And God says, I'll give you peace that passeth all understanding. He'll give it, but you got to receive it. He's not going to force it on you. You got to take it by faith. Amen? He said, I'm the vine, you're the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth much forth much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. You're not in this by yourself, church. And you can't do this by yourself. But with God, He says all things are possible. You may be the biggest mess there ever was. The world's done told you you'll never change. Nothing ever going to happen in your life. God says, if you abide in me, I'll change everything in your life. He said, here is my Father glorified that you bear much fruit, so you shall be my disciples. We're to be increasing in the knowledge of God, church. Those who live above the snake line are ever increasing their understanding of who God is and what God desires. Do you know more about who God is and what God desires now than you did when you first got saved? Every day of our life, you can't open up this Bible and you can't spend time with God and not grow in knowledge and wisdom and understanding of Him. Amen? And we learn how God operates. Boy, that's a wake-up call for a lot of people. We think God come into our life to make us comfortable. No. He came in your life to change you and make you more like Jesus. Amen? This knowledge comes from reading His Word. If you never pick this Bible up and you never read it and all you get is just what you get on Sunday mornings, you're in a sad shape, church. Kind of like the saying about the two dogs, the white dog and the black dog. And a guy would bet on the dog, and they always won. The one he bet on always won. And the guy come ask him, how do you know which one's going to win? And he told him, it's the one I feed the most. That's true in our life, church. Amen? You got to spend some time with God in prayer if you're going to live above the snake line. And you got to walk with God in a humble obedience day by day. This kind of life is simply not possible to those who are still in their sins. It's only available to those who are saved by grace, those who have been placed above the snake line. People who know the Lord are different. They've been changed by the power of God and they've been elevated above that snake line. People who know the Lord strive to live differently than they used to. I like that word strive. That means you're in the process. Does not mean you do everything right, but you're going in the right direction. You're following the right path. And you may stumble a couple of times. You may get on a couple of detours. But you're going in the right. You're trying to do all that you can do and let God do what you cannot do. Amen? They've been changed and they want to strive for a life that's higher than the life that they've lived. I've heard people say, oh, I'm just tired of being sick and tired. Well, God's tired of you being sick and tired too. He wants you to have better. And most of us, we're settling for a lot less than what God wants us to have because we're not willing to pay the price to do it. Amen? Once there was a little girl who was playing in the yard when she stopped to examine the flowers in her mother's garden. She said, Mom, I know why flowers grow. Why? Asked the mother. Because, explained the little girl, they want to get out of the dirt. That desire to get out of the dirt dwells in the heart of every child of God. We want to live better because we know Him. This desire, while real, does highlight a serious problem for those who have been saved. The problem is we still sin, and sometimes we do it frequently. For this to happen, we must descend below the snake line, re-entering the country inhabited by the serpents of sin. Here's the sad part. For us to move below the snake line does not require us to move an inch geographically. We don't have to make a physical move to go from the highest heights in Jesus to the lowest lows of sin. Amen. We can go from the top of the highest spiritual mountain to the bottom of the lowest spiritual valley in an instant. And we can do it all in our hearts. That's why you can find sinners like Adam and Eve in the perfection of the Garden of Eden. And you can find the saints like Ephesian believers in the cesspool of ancient Ephesus. That's why sometimes we can be elevated spiritually on Sunday and deep in the valley of sin by Monday. We need to remember some very important facts. If you've been saved, you know the truth. We know where the snake line is. We know where the Lord wants us to be. When we sin because we choose to live below the lofty place we've been elevated to in Christ. Church, once you let your standard down, it gets easier every time to do it. And then you'll find yourself way over here and you think, how did I get here? You know how? Little by little. Little by little. We also know where the Lord wants us to be, church. In other words, we always sin because we choose to. Nobody's twisting your arm. Nobody's making you do that. You choose to do that. You choose to sin. You choose to look at the wrong things. You choose to make the wrong choices. You choose to hang out with the wrong people. You choose to get bitter. When we sin, we do because we choose to live below the place that we've been placed by the Lord Jesus. And you have to descend below the snake line before we can be harmed by the serpent of sin. Remember David? He had a relationship with God. So awesome that God, I mean, this is such a, God says he's a man after my own heart. Could you imagine God saying that about us? A man after my own heart. Here he was, had a relationship with Almighty God, but he chose to descend down to the snake line. And look what it cost him. Amen? Look at Jonah. Tried to run from God. Where'd it get him? He found himself in a place where he cried out, said, oh God, whatever you want me to do, I'll do it now. I'm telling you what, it don't take but one fish to swallow you up, and you get, God got your attention, amen? Look at Samson. Awesome relationship with God. What did he do? He chose to descend down to the snake line's level. And what did it cost him? It cost him everything. Look at King Saul. Same situation, church. Each one of them descended down to the snake line. They put themselves back down on his territory. They gave him place. The prodigal son. Had it all. Wanted to do things his way. It cost him everything. They all fall into sin because they chose to go down. They chose to descend into the valley of sin and to leave the heights of holiness and closeness of God behind. Turn with me right quick to 1 Corinthians 10. 1 Corinthians 10. Y'all receiving this morning?
Amen.
1 Corinthians 10, verse 1. 1 Corinthians 10. Verse 1. Moreover, brethren, I would not that ye should be ignorant. God doesn't want us to be stupid, church. How that all our fathers were under the cloud and all passed through the sea and were all baptized into Moses in the cloud and the sea and did all eat the same spiritual meat and did all drink the same spiritual drink, for they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. But many of them God was not well pleased, for they were overthrown in the wilderness. Now these things were our examples. Tell somebody that's your example. These things were our examples to the intent that we should not lust after evil things as they also lusted. Neither be ye idolaters as some, or as were some of them, as it is written, The people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. Neither let us commit fornication as some of them committed and fell in one day 23,000. Neither let us tempt Christ as some of them also tempted and were destroyed of the serpent. Neither murmur you as some of them also murmured and were destroyed of the destroyer. We worry about committing murder and adultery and all. Church, he's saying right here, they were destroyed because they were murmuring. Oh, God, I don't know why you did it for everybody else. You don't do it for me. Now, all these things happened unto them for examples, and they were written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come. Wherefore, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed, lest he fall. He said, all these things were examples for us to learn from, church. How many times that your parents told you, oh, if they just listen to me, I've already been down that road, you wouldn't have to make the same mistake. And we all think, oh, I know better than my parents do. And then we become parents, we try to tell our children the same thing. God's saying here, learn from their examples. Amen? Don't give any place to the devil. Don't come back, once you've been, God's raised you up to a place, don't come back down here to where you put yourself in a situation where the serpents can destroy you. Amen? If you've descended below the snake line and allowed sin in your life, you can be forgiven. You can be restored. And it comes from confession and repentance, church. Sad thing is, a lot of people who claim to be redeemed live below the snake line. I heard about a young preacher who rode his bicycle everywhere he went. One day he was walking down the street and met another old preacher who asked him, why are you walking? Where's your bike? The young preacher responded, I don't know. It just came up missing. I suppose someone stole it. I think it might have been a member of my church. What should I do? The wise old preacher said, go to church on Sunday, preach on the Ten Commandments. When you get to the one that says, thou shalt not steal, hammer on that for a while, and the guilty person will be convicted and return your bike. A few days later, the two preachers met again. The young preacher was riding his bike this time. The old preacher asked him if he had followed his advice. The younger preacher responded, yes, I did. I preached through the Ten Commandments. I was planning to preach for a while, like you said, on that one that says, thou shalt not steal. But when I got to that one that says, thou shalt not commit adultery, I remember where I left my bike. We laugh at that, church, but we all know there's a kernel of truth there. Often we know better than we do. We know if we go down this road, if we make this mistake, if we do this, if we come down to the devil's level, we know it's going to cost us, but what do? We still do it and think we're going to get different results. Church, that's insanity. If you're still trapped in the lowland of sin, this morning I ask you and I beg you to come to Jesus. He'll save you, He'll cleanse you, and He'll change your life forever. Third, we've been empowered against the snake line. Verse 11 tells us that we're strengthened by His power. His power works to give us patience and long-suffering with joyfulness. You're not walking this walk by yourself. God is empowering you. We couldn't do what we do. I never got off drugs. And God's still working on my selfishness, but I would never got free from the selfishness I was in. It took God, church. Amen? It's because of the power that we have inside of us. Now, some of y'all, I didn't want to come to church this morning. Well, guess what? Your flesh didn't, but your spirit did. And thank God the Spirit won. Amen? Church, we need to understand this truth. We do not have to live like we used to live anymore. If I was still living like I was living and Joy was still living like she was living, y'all would be coming to somebody's funeral or come to the jail and have a jail ministry because we would kill each other. Because we're, you know, what causes most battles? Battle of the wheels. Her wanting her way, me wanting my way. Amen. Instead of doing it God's way. That's what I can't understand about, as Christian, we confess God as our Lord and our Savior, as a married couple, a Christian married couple, but yet they're having so many problems. The reason you're having problems is because you want your will, he wants his will, instead of finding out what God's will is, because God's will is already blessed. Amen? And if we're seeking God's will, that means we're going to walk together because we're going to please him and we're not going to please our flesh. We're not going to please each other. We're going to please him. We've been raised above the snake line, church. And with God's help, we can stay there. He said he strengthened us. That word means to be enabled. God enabled you. He said he's given us might. That speaks of authority, force, and power. He says he's given us glorious power. That's a force that extends beyond the ordinary. He says he's given us patience, endurance, long-suffering. This word refers to forbearance or standing firm when others would fall. You've gone through things that most people couldn't go through. You made it through it and you're still standing. You're still loving God. You're still walking your spiritual journey. Amen? It's just joyfulness. This word speaks of cheerfulness. This morning it was so quiet in here. Thank God, sister, you were bringing some life in here. It was so quiet here this morning. Amen. I'm thinking, we're not at a funeral home. This is the house of Almighty God. Amen. Where's the joy? Where's the cheerfulness? Amen. We're enabled to live with God with a power that exceeds our ordinary human power. By his power, we're enabled to stand firm with a cheerful spirit, enduring patiently everything in life, the world, and the enemy throws at us. You heard me say this many times before. Why do you think God allowed Job to go through what Job went through? Because he knew what he had put in Job was greater than what the devil was going to put on Job. Amen? The end result is that we do not have to live below the snake line any longer. That's good news, church. Amen. We do not have to be slaves to our passions and sins any longer. Amen. We've been elevated. We've been enlightened. We've been enabled to live a new kind of life in Christ Jesus. We are free, free to live for the Lord. We are able to live for him by his power. How do you achieve this kind of life? Do we do it by fighting against sin and our sinful nature? Do we do it by living by rules? Do we do it by our own efforts? No. We do it simply by yielding to Jesus. Amen. When we submit to him, he lives through us. When he lives through us, he reproduces himself in us. You'd be shocked how many churches are still trying to live by rules or still trying to live under the Ten Commandments. God says, I want to live through you. Amen. That's what he wants, church. It's not about a bunch of rules and regulations. It's not trying to measure up to what somebody else thinks you should be. It's allowing the Holy Spirit to lead you and guide you and live his life through you so that he can cause Jesus Christ to be developed in our lives, church. So when people see us, they don't see us. They see him in us. Amen. I read about a pilot in World War II who took off from one of the Pacific Islands early one morning. And for those that their church is over with, I'm almost through, okay?
That's good.
Hey, you come this morning, I hope you came for a full meal deal, amen? Anyway, I read about a pilot in World War II who took off from one of the Pacific Islands early one morning. A little while after he took off, he heard a scratching noise coming from between the walls and the fuselage in his plane. He soon realized that it was a rat. He cut the engine and heard what sounded like chewing. Between those walls with the rat were the cables that controlled the flaps and the rudders, the hydraulic lines and the electrical wires. The pilot knew that the rat would eventually chew through something important and cause the plane to crash. There was no way the pilot could get to the rat, but he soon settled on a means of killing the creature. pull him back on the stick. He guided his plane straight up into the air, aiming directly toward the sun. Higher and higher the plane climbed into the sky. Soon the plane reached that altitude where there was very little oxygen. In a moment, the chewing stopped. When the pilot landed, he soon recovered the dead body of the rat. The remedy that saved the pilot and his plane was altitude. The rat couldn't live without oxygen. Church, the solution to our sin problem is our altitude. When sin begins to creep in, when you're tempted to descend below the place Christ set you and saved you, when you see the greenery of the sights of the lowland that you must go down, the answer is for you to go up. Set your face toward the Son of God and climb higher until the desire of the world fades away. Amen? Next time we're tempted to sin, start talking to God. Start praising God. Start quoting His scriptures. And I tell you what, you ain't going to want to sin because you're going to know God's watching you now. I mean, He's watching us anyway, but you're going to bring Him right here on the scene. Amen?
Once two boys were playing around some cliffs by the seashore in Nova Scotia. On a ledge, one of those cliffs, they found a nest containing some baby eagles. They took one home, placed it with some hens and their chicks. Over time, the little eagle grew, and as it grew, it became more and more apparent that the eagle was not a chicken. The eaglet would stand for long hours staring into the sky as if longing to be flying high up there instead of walking around the ground like a chicken. Of course, with time, the eagle would try flapping his wings, but he only managed to flop around the ground. Then one day, the young eagle was standing in the sunlight staring up into the sky as usual when another eagle flew overhead. The grounded eagle became strangely agitated. Stretching himself on the ends of his talons, he unfolded his great wings, and with a strange cry, he rose up from the ground. Higher and higher he flew until he soon disappeared from sight. It was a great day for the eagle when he discovered that he was not a chicken destined to spend his life scratching in the dirt, but that he was an eagle meant to soar in the heavenly blue far above the world below. It will be a great day in our lives when we finally learn you do not have to grovel in sin any longer. It'll be a great day in our life when we discover that Christ has saved you to dwell in high places above sin and sorrows of this wicked, sin-cursed world. Amen. It'll be a great day when we finally come to understand that you can live above the snake line. Yes. It'll be even a greater day when we begin to live there. Yes. Amen? Amen. My question this morning, church, has God spoken to you today? Do you need to be saved and delivered from sin? Do you need the Lord to lift you above the snake line? Do you need to set your eyes higher than the level in which you currently live? Do you need to climb above the snake line? God's speaking to you this morning, church. The devil has no power unless we give him power. We're to walk over all the powers and principalities of the enemy. He's supposed to be under our feet, church. And it's only when we come down from the place that Christ has placed us in till we get on the devil's level and we give him place and he comes in and does what he does best, steal, kill, and destroy. Amen? So this week, when you find yourself up here and you're high and lifted up and you're praising God for all the good things in his life and the devil comes along with a temptation, instead of climbing down, stop and think. I don't have to go there no more. I have a choice. And I choose not to go back down there. I choose to live with God where He wants me to be. Amen? It's easy for us to shout and clap in church. But next week when we get out there, and he gets on your shoulder and begins to talk in your ear. He begins to put things up here in front of you. And you begin to look where you shouldn't be looking. Talking like you shouldn't be talking. Doing what you shouldn't be doing. Walking where you shouldn't be walking. That's when you're going to find out. Which do you want more? You want what he has or do you want what God has? Amen. I've got one thing I want to read. I'm going to say this most of all. It doesn't matter who you are or where you are in life. All things are possible with God. Amen. Amen.
I want to read this to you. I cut it out of the paper. Louis Timberlake tells about an 11th grade group of boys in Harlem, all of whom had police records and 80% of them who had experimented with drugs. Incorrigible, 8 different teachers had given up on them. In desperation, the principal called a 67-year-old lady out of retirement to take the class. He explained the situation. To his surprise, she accepted the challenge. "Give me those boys," she said. "I can handle them." That evening, she went over her names. There was the usual run of information, ages, addresses, etc. Suddenly, there it was, the thing others had missed. Billy Blackman, 146. Jimmy Jones, 139. Tommy Stone, 143, and on and on. These boys were brilliant, almost geniuses. Everybody had treated them as if they were stupid, anticipating only mediocrity. She went to class next day dedicated to making them live up to their potential. At the close of the school year, every boy in the class was promoted to the 12th grade. At the closing assembly, the president of the school board was there to present this remarkable teacher with a beautiful achievement plaque. "I can't accept that plaque," she said. "It should go to the principal." The principal was taken back. "Why?" he asked. "What did I do?" "Don't you remember," she said, "the day you gave me the list of students, you were thoughtful enough to give me their IQ numbers." For a brief moment, the principal was dumbfounded. Then he remembered. He broke into laughter and exclaimed, "Goodness, those weren't IQs. Those were their locker numbers." There's a little chorus with these words, only believe, all things are possible, only believe. It's true. So much of what we achieve depends on what we expect. It was the carpenter from Nazareth who put it in these words, "Your reward shall be equal to your faith." Now the important question is, what do you expect? Amen? Amen. God is kind of like that teacher. He's wanting us to rise above, church. He wants us to live to our full potential. God wants to do some awesome things in our life, church. I don't want to get into it because I'm running out of time, but I'll tell more about it later on. I'm good. Nope. Amen. Day by day, I'm believing in God, church. Amen. So I've told y'all a little bit about it, and I'll tell you some more later on, but in our company, we were on the verge of life support. I mean, we were just, it was now or never. And that's why God just blows your mind, because he always shows up in that last moment, you know. And we didn't know what we was going to do. And God popped the thought into a young man that works for us, mine. He said, "I don't know where it came from. I never thought nothing." And he had an idea, and we presented this idea to some people. And they bought the idea, which is kind of unusual. And they came on the scene. Long story short, we end up selling the company to them. Both guys are millionaires. One of them's a builder that I work for. He knows construction. But God put me in a position now to where when I do walk away, I'm not going to feel so responsible for all those families that work for me. Because now, this company will continue. They'll work with somebody that has the money and has potential to do everything. Basically, God took their lives and their livelihood out of my hands and put it back into their hands. Amen. He restored some of the money I had lost. He gave me some of that back. I say he gave me two people to take this business, and there's all kinds of potential. I mean, they're unlimited. They want to grow this thing to the point to where one of these days you have a storefront where people can come in and pick colors and stuff. And they got big dreams. Well, Stephen has big dreams. I quit dreaming big about 10 years ago. I wanted to retire. So now he's got somebody that's wanting to go with him and do what he wants to do. Jean was looking at a job situation, and God made a way for her to get this job situation to where now what she makes pretty much pays all their bills. So I was always worried about keeping Dustin a job and keeping him busy and stuff. God took that responsibility away from me. I mean, layer by layer, he's taking these things away. And I'll tell you the whole story when I get time, but it's just God, church. If we'll just not give up, if we'll just have faith and trust him, and it may look at the last minute, but God knows what he's doing, church. And he knows when he's going to do it, and he knows what he wants to do. And we were talking the other day about this situation here, because God has healed me for so many things. If he'd healed me before now, I'd probably be right back out there painting houses again. You know, because I'm just stubborn. But this has been a progressive thing. Day by day, I'm thanking God for everything. I couldn't lift this knee like this before. I sure, they told me to walk with a cane and stuff. But every day, day by day, I'm thanking God. Does that mean I'm not going to have a slip up somewhere or a hiccup here? No, he's still God. He's still my healer. It doesn't matter what this feels like. I'm not moved by what I feel. I'm moved by what I believe. And I believe he's my healer. Like I say, he's healed me of ulcers. He's healed me of so many. I've seen cancer in my family heal. God's done so many things. So I believe the more I get in and start doing more and more for God, the quicker this thing's going to be healed, where I'm going to be complete and whole. God does not want us like this, church. He wants us healed. He wants us whole. Amen? Well, thank God. Go ahead and stand. Come on, give God some praise in the house this morning. Amen? Amen. 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 And remember this week, when the enemy puts that temptation out there, don't go down to the snake line. Stay where God has you. Amen.